This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 15-year veteran and three-time champion, subscribe to my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week where we take you through the ins and outs of the association's top storylines, as well as breaking news and so much more. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in Richmond. We are streaming live on the free Odyssey app. You can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network. Brought to you by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. It's Bish, Cakes, EB, and JP. John Keim will join us coming up at 8 o'clock to talk Commanders and the Combine. But joining us right now to talk Caps, their head coach, Spencer Carberry, joins us on the Rude Guest Hotline. Morning, Coach.
Morning, guys.
Hello, Coach.
So was last night's loss at all muted by the fact that it's your first regulation loss at Capital One since, I couldn't believe this stat, since November 23rd? I mean, that's a long time to go between regulation losses at home.
Did you know that?
I knew we were on a pretty good run. I didn't remember the exact dates or how much the exact number of games, but I knew we were on a pretty good run at home and had played really well. And especially coming out of the break, the game against Edmonton, one of our better games of the season. So still frustrating to play the way we did last night, but obviously long season and you're going to have nights like that. So we'll learn from it, take what we can out of it, move on.
So Ovi scores again, and, you know, I mean, enough superlatives. I mean, he's incredible. But we've been having this debate here the last few days, Coach, and I know that you're just worried about game to game and you don't really think about these kinds of things. But let's just put this scenario out there, okay?
Some fans think about this.
Right. This is the kind of thing that we think about.
Yeah. I think you know what's coming.
I love this.
All right, so you're worried about winning and losing and all that. But, okay, you're up 6-3. Let's say, and he needs to tie or break the record. Are you putting him out there to potentially get an empty netter to tie or break the record? Or are you saying, Ovi, you sit your ass right here, we ain't doing that?
Right, for optics' sake.
Great call. And I've thought about it.
You have? Oh, okay. Yeah. Good.
Yeah. And I haven't talked to O about this yet, but this is my guess, is that when it gets to that point, I don't think he's going to want to break it with an empty netter.
Right. Or tie it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair.
Right.
But then what comes into play, what you have to think about as well is, like, he's a lot of times our best option to be out there to win the hockey game. So it's a fine line.
Well, it's different
line,
if it's like you're up 4-2 or 4-3 or whatever, right? And they pull the goalie. Yeah. That's different.
During play.
Yeah, that's different.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, but if it's like the other day, 6-3 or whatever, he doesn't need to be out there for that. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a good point of, like, if it's a one goal game, do you do it? If it's a three goal game, now are you a little less likely to do it? You just want to make sure there's a goalie in the net when he breaks it. Yeah, I haven't like gotten to that far planning wise, but I have thought about it, and I think it's something that we'll discuss and decide. And
look, there's nothing to be ashamed about with. You're like, you know, empty net goals are part of the deal. Gretzky, everybody has them. They're, you know, they're great. There's nothing wrong with them. You just don't want the signature moment to be that potentially. I don't think anybody does.
I agree. I don't think you're wrong there. I think, you know, the goal to break Wayne, this iconic record, and that'll be shown for years to come in history. I think you want a goaltender in the net. I would agree with that.
So are you going to sit down with him then and say, okay, here's our plan? As you get to like within two or three goals of this, do you plan to sit down with him and at least have a two-minute conversation?
Yeah, it won't be anything crazy. It'll just be, hey, here's what I'm thinking. Here's where you're at with it. What are your thoughts? Get his opinion. And then we'll just go from there.
Joined by Spencer Carberry, who's presented by the Centers for Advanced Orthopedics. More physicians, more locations, more advanced care centered around one thing, you. Visit CFAortho.com. Just one more on breaking the record. He's 12 away. Does it matter if it happens at home or on the road?
No, it does not matter.
I mean, you'd rather it happen at home, but you can't control
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. Yeah. Zero question about that. So you would like that, but to try to manufacture that, I just don't think makes any sense. And, you hope it organically happens. If it doesn't, it doesn't, but I don't think you can script that or try to plan for that. And unfortunately, I mean, just looking ahead, we play a lot of road games in April to finish our season. I think our last, I want to say six of our last nine are on the road. So that you know, it is what it is. Hopefully it's this year and hopefully it's at home, but you just keep playing the games and keep trying to get the next one.
You got a lot of stuff on your mind, Coach. All right. Look, one thing that you were not happy with last night, and I was watching it first period when Martin, I don't even know how to pronounce his last name, Pospisil?
Yeah, that's pretty close.
Yeah.
It looked like he kicked the puck into the net.
He did. That's because he did kick the puck into the net.
Yeah.
And you were not happy. They allowed the goal. I know you motioned to your eyes to the referee on – I don't know who that was, but you were not happy.
No, I was motioning to that wasn't to the refs. That's to Lars. So when we're doing a review, they try to hurry you up. So they go, let's go. And so to buy like an extra 10 seconds, we'll send a line out there. So Lars is line. So I tell him to make sure he looks at me before he goes down for the draw.
Oh, okay.
And I'll give him the thumbs up, like, okay, take the draw. Or I'll say, no, we're going to challenge it. So I'm like pointing to my eyes, like, look at me before you take the draw. Because we're still considering whether we were going to challenge that. And we couldn't challenge the kick. You can't challenge that. That comes from the league. But we could have challenged the goalie interference, which Dowd gets sort of pushed in a little bit, which turns Logan. We just didn't feel like it was enough that it was going to come back. So that's why we didn't challenge, but we were giving it a good, long, hard look.
But you did think he kicked it. It looked like he did,
So that rule is sticky because – so we score in Pittsburgh on that. And if you're like Ethan Frank the other night in Pittsburgh, he was stopping – he was like coming in, stopping at the crease, and the puck goes in off his foot as he's stopping. So he pushed it in, but he was stopping. Now that there's a fine line between you going in and stopping with your feet and a kicking motion, and that's what that's how they determine the difference. If you kick the puck with your leg, it's supposed to come back. Now, what I saw in that one, it looked like it goes in off his shin pad, but it looked more like a kicking motion to me. So I don't know. I'm going to look at that one again today and get some clarification on the league because we had one like that last year against Toronto. And I'm just going to get a little bit of clarification because I thought that was a kicking motion to me.
Agreed.
Coach Carbs, let's rewind to the weekend. On Saturday, during the third period of your guys' win over the Penguins, which, by the way, you hung eight goals on them. Caps fans love to see eight goals against the Penguins whenever that can happen. Ovi had the third longest shift of his entire NHL career. 4 minutes and 43 seconds.
Couldn't get him off the ice.
Take us through that. And you're like, oh, my God, Ovi's been at it for almost 5 minutes. What is happening here?
You know what's interesting? Chicky had a long one. Chikrin had a long one last night, too, just coincidentally at the end of the game because we were pressing to try to tie. I want to say his was like up in the 3.5, something like that. But the Pittsburgh shift, so it starts with a power play, and then we get the 5-on-3. And so I know it looks optically when you see the numbers and you're like, whoa, how are you possibly able to sustain a level of play for that long? The 2 minutes is basically a 5-on-3 power play. Then we get another sort of power play sequence and he stays out. So it was an extended shift, but probably one of his better shifts. And obviously we have a man advantage, so you would expect that a little bit. But the amount of scoring chances, shot attempts, puck touches he had was crazy. The broadcast broke down the numbers on the shift and what he had. It was he was, as they say, stuffing the stat box on that right. shift.
Very nice. So, Coach, I was reading up a little bit on one of the new additions to the team this offseason, Brandon Duhame, a.k.a. Dewey. Apparently, he's the team prankster. He's super high energy. And Strome was talking about him a little bit. And one of the quotes from Strome, and I want to know if you're offended by this, Strome said, "You know it's funny when Carbs is laughing behind the bench at some of the stuff that Dewey says." Are you like, come on, man, I have a sense of humor. I get jokes. Come on.
No, because he knows, like, I'm a pretty intense guy when the game's going on in the moment. But when Dewey is, it's hard to keep a straight face with some of the stuff that Dewey says on the bench. So that's what he's referencing, is like in the game, heat of the moment, you know, whatever's going on. Like, usually I'm pretty dialed in and intense in the moment and that, and Dewey will give a one-liner and it's sometimes hard to keep a straight face because it's he's such a great teammate, great guy. He's completely engaged in the game and he's not cracking jokes. This is like him, his intensity and fire and energy that he brings. And whether he's talking about his own teammate or talking about the opposition, he just gets so fired up and he has some one-liners that it's hard to keep a straight face.
So is he like a top two or three chirper on the team? Does he get that title?
So he's more... So, like, opposition chirper, that would, like, we've got a couple guys that'll go back and forth.
Willie's got to be up there. Yeah. Willie's got to be the one seed of chirping the other team, right?
Yeah, he definitely is up there. Dewey's more of a positive, encouraging his teammates, and the lines that he uses are just, like, they're hard not to laugh at and smile because he'll say something about, you know, McMichael or Stromer and it'll be, you know, he'll be sort of giving them a vote of confidence, but also just say it in a real funny one-liner way. So he's more of your rah-rah, like getting the guys going and fired up out on the ice and cheering them on.
Carbs, you know you're Coach of the Year, right?
Well, if we
Patrick and obviously B Mac, but you in particular have done an unbelievable job. And I remember talking to Alan May about this when we were doing the altcast over at Monumental. He said that your coaching skills are off the charts.
Now
you guys are more talented, obviously, but you're Coach of the Year.
Oh, thank you.
Let's go.
Where are you going to put it? Where are you going to put the trophy
or whatever? Nice mantle.
Cakes really wants to know if you have a bonus clause in your contract.
I mean,
long way to go, gentlemen. Long way to
that's
go.
That's true. It's meat on that bone. I hear you.
All right.
I mean, it's just an unbelievable job.
Hey, Coach, the D-men are getting it done. During the broadcast last night, they flashed up a graphic. The Caps defensemen have tallied 149 points this season. That's tops in the NHL. How surprised are you and your staff at that stat? I'm I mean, I'm sure you knew that it would be improved, especially bringing in Chicky. I mean, he's had a great year, but I mean, to lead the league is pretty damn impressive.
Yeah, that's been a huge part of our turnaround. Like the scoring overall, I mean, we're the highest scoring team in the NHL now, which, I mean, if you told me that 6 months ago that at this point in the season we would lead the league in goals, I'm not sure I would believe you. Mm-hmm. And they're a big part of that. We've got some help up front, but our back end has done a great job of contributing. Obviously, like you guys said, Chychrun, but I look at it the whole, like even Sandy, Johnny obviously is doing what he's always done. Reimer contributing. Marty's gotten a little bit better offensively and helping us with his skating and making good decisions with the puck. And Matt Roy. So that it's been a huge part of our success as our back end, because you need that to give you some secondary scoring, and they've done a good job of that.
All right, Coach. Hopefully you get a win in the next one. It's okay to lose every once in a while. We've been having you basically on after win after win after win. Sounds like he's okay.
Yeah, he's okay with it. He's doing good. They're cruising.
Just flush it away.
Coach, real quick, I just looked it up. Last year, after 58 games, you guys were 27-22-9. And this year, you know what your record is. You're 38-12-9. Mm-hmm. Or 8, I'm sorry. So it's a 11-win difference. 10-loss difference. I mean, it's just been an unbelievable year. Keep it rolling, bro. Yep.
Thanks, Coach.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
Of course.
All right, buddy.
It's Coach Spencer Carberry. He's presented by the Centers for Advanced Orthopedics. More physicians, more locations, more advanced care centered around one thing. You visit CFAOrtho.com. Coming up at 7:45 on a game show Wednesday, we're going to give you a chance to win tickets to go see Dierks Bentley in concert. And we have Wizards tickets for the game coming up on March 5th. Which is a bobblehead night.
Oh, who's the bobble?
Gee whiz.
Oh, a mascot bobble? That's right. It's right up my alley. It's perfect. So
we'll give away those tickets coming up at 7:45 on a game show Wednesday. We're going to play Who Makes More?
Love it. Burn one. Burn one now.
Me or Cakes? Cakes.
No. No. Cakes. You're the one that's king of the reeds right now.
Yeah, it's Jason Bishop.
No, I think Bickle is.
It could be.
But Bickle's got Ivy League tuition.
That part is true.
Believe me, I've hemorrhaged so much money.
I don't think he's in there.
All right, so the Commanders are still discussed as a team that would potentially go after Myles Garrett.
Why is this still a thing? Haven't the Browns said they're not going to, like, he's not going
anywhere? Nobody believes them.
Just because they said it doesn't mean it's true, though.
Yes, the GM yesterday, is it Andrew Berry?
I think that's right.
Sounds right.
I think the GM of the Cleveland Browns, Andrew Berry, reiterated that they're not moving him.
Yeah.
But hey, if Myles Garrett says, I'm not playing for you, eventually maybe he's going to have to make a move.
All right.
But interestingly, there's a report that the Eagles may actually make a move to keep Garrett from coming to Washington. Here's the audio.
Bit of a market here with a couple teams.
Okay, and then tell me why I should be thinking about Myles Garrett on the Eagles.
So way early, I'm connecting some dots here, admittedly, but this is a conversation that some people in the league have had, that the Philadelphia Eagles, one of the most aggressive, if not the most aggressive teams on the trade market, will be looking for a pass rusher. Josh Sweat, the Super Bowl likely or close MVP, could be out. The expectation is that he will sign elsewhere, so they're going to have a need there. Myles Garrett, they would not want to see him go to the Washington Commanders, for example. If that was to gain traction, Howie Roseman would likely step in, try to make a deal that is too hard for the Cleveland Browns to refuse. Keep it in mind here, the Browns are a hard no. They're still telling teams they have no interest in trading Myles Garrett. If he were to become available, several teams will be in that. Maybe the Eagles will be one.
All right, so then I'm telling you, we got to take those top two or three guys on their side.
Got to poach them.
Got to poach them. Like, that's got to be big targets.
That'd be amazing if there was back and forth warfare. Like, and then the Eagles signed Bobby Wagner or whatever.
The army.
Zach Ertz. Bring Zach Ertz back.
I like how in the arms race at this point, it's the Eagles and the Commanders, and the Giants and the Cowboys are just basically, now, they're just afterthoughts in the NFC East.
Kind of feels
that's
that
a good
way.
Thing.
Yeah.
I like that. But I like the balance of power shifting.
But we're still, we're the clear number two.
Oh, I'm not saying that the Commanders aren't. It's better to be
when's the last time
number
you said
two
that?
Than it is three or four in the division.
True. That's true. I don't know. Somebody was saying, you know, when I did the kids' podcast yesterday, I guess some people are putting out there on rumors that there's a way that they could engineer a John Allen, Miles Garrett trade. And I just don't see that.
I saw some projections that they might only get like a fifth round pick for John Allen.
You know, right. He's at the end.
Which seems really low.
Yeah.
Well, because for a guy who's been a pro
bowler. Teams are going to call Adam Peters bluff. Like they're going to say, we'll give you a fifth rounder or we'll wait for you to release him. And then we'll just sign him on the open market.
Although I will say
nothing.
That if you listen to Peters, he said that all things are out there, including John returning.
Coming back. Sure. Yes.
Which I actually didn't think was on the bingo card.
Well,
it actually surprised me because I assumed they'd either going to trade him or they're just going to probably release him and move on.
Yeah, that is true. We have done that, and with John, he's another person who's been a great commander, a great person for this franchise, and he's going into the last year of his deal, and wanted to give him and his representation, Blake Baratz, who's a really good agent. They just talked about it and said wanted to be able to explore opportunities, and so we let them do that, and we're staying in contact with them really every day. Just texted with them this morning, and really everything's still on the table in terms of whether it's a trade or staying here or whatever. So we're still going through that. It's kind of early in the stages. We haven't done a lot of exploring yet, but that's kind of where we're at right now.
Right? Well,
the Bengals are interested. They've called.
I'm sure plenty of teams will be interested.
But, you know, what if, you know, if someone calls and gives them a trade offer and Peter says that's just not good enough?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's still under contract.
Mm-hmm.
So they can.
Well, it just depends, right? Because it does. What is the benefit? How much is it worth to have $15 million extra in cap room now, right? Just another guy you can go after. So you may not get that draft capital, but it does free up capital that you can
now. Gives you financial flexibility to do whatever you want this offseason. Already third in salary cap money at this point. They're behind only the Patriots and I can't remember who's second, but they're in a really good spot as far as spending money.
The Patriots have a ton of money.
Patriots have like $130 million almost.
They're going to be really aggressive.
People just don't want to believe this Cleveland Browns GM. Interpret this for me. He said, he's a huge part of our organization. He's an awesome player. Understand the trade requests and everything, but our stance really has not changed. We can't imagine a situation where not having Miles Garrett as a part of the organization is best for the Browns.
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe they play hardball with him and say, look, you still have 2 years left on your deal. If you want to stay here, we'll talk about extending your deal. But as of right now, we have no plans on trading you. And then his only recourse is, if he's really upset and does want to play for the Browns, is
to sit out
and miss game checks.
Yeah.
Like, and later on, he said,
I don't know, I just wouldn't want a guy on my team that I know doesn't want to be there.
It's just disgruntled.
Just doesn't want to be there.
I understand Miles Garrett's position.
Yeah, but when
he's been in the league for, what, like 7 or 8 years now? Mm-hmm. And that team is going backwards. That team.
I mean, they've got no shot at being good over the next couple, 2-3 years.
That team won three games last year. Like, yeah.
But the year before, they're in the playoffs.
He doesn't want to toil away with a team where they're just spinning their wheels in his prime.
Yeah, correct me if I'm wrong. They were in the playoffs the year before.
Okay, but that doesn't guarantee they're going to be back.
I understand that.
Their quarterback situation's a lot different.
We know here in Washington, they went from a 4-win team to a 12-win team.
Right. Well, that's because they found their quarterback.
Okay.
Right now, Cleveland, they have nothing but question marks at quarterback.
Oh, maybe they go out and get a quarterback. Maybe they draft one. Who knows?
They could. But don't sell me on, we're going to bring in Kirk Cousins as a bridge quarterback. Like, if I'm Miles Garrett and your plan is Kirk Cousins or Daniel Jones as a bridge guy until you find your guy, I'm not interested in sticking around for that.
Yeah, but
I would want out.
But what Barry said is true. He said trade requests happen across the league all the time.
Yeah.
It's not unusual. It's not the first for us. Probably won't be the last. We're not interested in moving him.
That's fine, but now is when Miles Garrett needs to make it untenable. He needs to make it.
They could be saying that publicly
for Andrew Berry.
They could be saying that publicly, but privately,
behind the scenes,
they could be saying, "Hey, let's take calls."
Right.
So,
sure. Or they could be saying, "We want to keep our best player, who's arguably the best defensive player in the game."
Yeah.
And we hope to have a turnaround like the Texans did 2 seasons ago, like the Commanders did a season ago.
I don't know how they're going to do it with no quarterback.
They think that. I don't doubt that they don't want to move him, but I don't think that they're delusional enough to think that they're going to all of a sudden be the big turnaround team next year.
I mean, if they know they can get two first-round picks for him, and they know they're years away from being what they thought they were going to be, and if they have a rookie quarterback, I just think
what's his contract situation?
He has 2 years left on his deal.
So is it? Is
and
it,
he's getting underpaid.
So is it just a ploy to get a new deal?
Could be, or maybe he just doesn't want to play another down in Cleveland because he spent his entire career there and it's been mostly failure.
Right.
Yeah, but again, so I just look at it this way. 2023, they were 11-6. Mm-hmm. They didn't have a great quarterback situation there in 2023. They found a way to win 11 games.
Well, yes. Hold on. Nick Chubb was healthy.
That was Joe Flacco coming in at the end.
You know what I call that year? An outlier. An aberration.
Yeah, they're totally different now.
I know they fell apart last year and were 3-14. And I'm not predicting they're going to have a turnaround, but it's entirely possible. It happens in the NFL every year. We saw it here in Washington. Okay, and you keep pointing to the quarterback, but they finished 11-6 with Joe Flacco leading the way.
It's not going to happen for them, especially because of the division they're in.
Who started the season before Flacco came in and saved the day? Was it Deshaun? Deshaun started and
Deshaun
got hurt?
Yeah, Deshaun was awful. Yeah. He was so terrible.
Right.
You know who was much better? Jameis Winston.
They have a good coach.
Watson.
Look, Stefanski's won Coach of the Year twice. They had one 11-5 season. Then a couple mediocre seasons where they're 8-9, 7-10. Then 11-6. And then the awful 3-14. I don't know.
You seem very weirdly optimistic on the Cleveland Browns.
No, I'm just saying it happens.
He's just saying
like
it's possible.
You're just like tossing
possible.
It out. Like it can't happen. Like if I'm Andrew Berry, if I was the GM, I wouldn't be in a rush to trade him. Like you seem like you're in a rush to trade him. If you were the GM,
I would be in a rush to trade him.
I don't want my best player to be disgruntled. And
if I know he doesn't want to be there, I'd be in a rush to trade him.
And if he's valuable, which he is, I'm going to.
If I know that he's just saying it because he wants a new deal, okay, then maybe I can work up a new deal.
Yeah, but are you going to let your employees just walk all over you in a way? Because if he does that disgruntled, then the next guy might be disgruntled. You're supposed to trade every disgruntled person. How about we gave you a big fat contract? Perform.
All right, I'll make two bets with you. Mm. One, he gets traded before the start of the season.
Jump on it.
I'll bet you $10 the Browns don't make the playoffs in the next two seasons.
Is it just two seasons?
Weird.
Sure, I'll take that.
Get the book out.
$10 for each.
Okay.
$10 for each bet.
Repeat it one more time.
One is he's got Myles Garrett traded before the season.
Before the start of the 2025 season, he's traded.
And then Cake says the Browns not making the playoffs in the next two seasons, which would be 2025 and 2026.
Correct. $10
I get sliced for their last place schedule. And maybe they get Cam Ward and he becomes a stud.
Possibly. That could happen.
Or Shedeur Sanders.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see, but it'll be interesting to see what happens with Garrett. Now, if they get an offer of two first-round picks, I mean, they might say it's too good to be true. We got to go.
But back to how we started this, it is interesting. If it's true, if the Eagles are kind of playing defense and just playing keep away from the Commanders, like, oh, Commanders want that guy?
Yeah.
We're not going to let you have that guy.
It means, you know what, EB? It means they're hearing the footsteps. They're hearing the Commanders' footsteps.
Oh, they played him in the NFC Championship game.
I know. Not they're scared, but they hear those footsteps in the distance.
Played him in the NFC Championship game.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We're not going anywhere. We're going to be competitive.
Going to be in the mix.
That I know.
Coming up next, it's Game Show Wednesday. Your chance to win some great prizes. You can call in now at 800-636-1067 as we have Dirks Bentley tickets and Wizards tickets to give away. Next, here on The Junkie. Welcome back, Chuckies. Coming to you on a Game Show Wednesday. You can call us now at 800-636-1067. It's a Wizards Wednesday. We have Wizards tickets. We've got Dirks Bentley tickets.
Game Show Wednesday, always brought to you by our great friends at Open Road Distilling Company. It's time to raise your standards. And Open Road Distilling Company is now at Virginia ABC stores, exclusively in Northern Virginia, whether it's the bold spice of Eagle Eye Rye, the smooth depth of Independence Bourbon, or the rich, ready-to-pour Maple Old Fashioned. This is whiskey done right. For the full experience, visit them in Reston Town Center. It's Open Road Distilling.
Nice. Are you wearing your Open Road jacket?
No, I'm not.
Because you have a really nice open road
yesterday.
Jacket.
Yeah.
He's got a silly.
It's an Asher jacket.
Kind of jelly.
Mm, very good.
It's an Asher jacket. It's got the open road.
Ask your boy if he's got an extra.
Asher.
Because my Sup Dogs is the zipper. First, I've been wearing this for like 4 years, but the zipper is not really working very well.
Yeah.
Starts breaking at the bottom.
Yeah, it's tilting when that happens.
And then you got to like just, and sometimes it's like stuck.
It's very tilt worthy.
But it's that. This has been a great jacket.
That jacket's great. And I love the Open Road logo. It's awesome.
All right, we're going to play Who Makes More. Again, you can call us at 800-636-1067. Who is our first contestant, Cakesy?
Grab the old All right, mouse here.
So let me guess what he's doing.
All right, hold on. What
is it just one guy at a time?
Just one guy at a time.
All right, I'm going to go to my guy, Rich and Olney. He's been on hold the longest. Rich, you're on with the Junks. Good luck.
Rich?
What's up,
Hello,
Rich?
Hello, Rich.
All right, Rich. Who makes more? Washington Nationals catcher K-Bear Ruiz or Washington Wizards forward Corey Kispert?
That's got to be Corey Kispert.
It doesn't have to be because K-Bear Ruiz makes $6.25 million and Kispert's at $5.7
his extension hasn't kicked
million.
Ooh.
He definitely signed an extension. Like, yeah.
Well, I'm looking at Spot Rack.
Okay. All right.
So whatever it said right there.
Okay. All right. Sorry, Rich.
Maybe the extension is for next season.
Probably kicks in next year. All right. Let's go to Steve. He's calling Jason's Hood, Ashburn.
What part of the burn you in, Stevie?
Ashburn Farm. Morning, guys.
Morning, buddy. Morning.
Good luck.
How's that section, Jason?
It's nice. I mean, the only sections that suck in Ashburn are where all the data centers are. Right, Steve?
That's right.
I mean, there's like 90 of them. But the way I look at it, Steve, if we didn't have data centers, we'd have more people.
Totally agree.
More houses. So I can live with it for now.
Yeah.
All right. Who makes more? Junkies, frequent guest, weekly guest, Nick Dowd,
the
center for the Washington Capitals.
The Dowder. Okay.
Or Washington Commanders corner rookie Mike Sanistro.
Mikey Sanistro or the Doubter?
I'm going to go to the Cavs, Nick Dowd.
Mike Sanistro, $1.75 million. Nick Dowd, $1.3 million.
I would have said Dowd, friend. I would have thought Dowd made somewhere in the twos.
I hope I don't run out of these blickies. Nah, should be all right.
All right, let's go to Hugh. He's calling in from the Dina.
Hey, Hugh.
What's up, Hugh?
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's up, buddy?
Where does Matt Myers rank amongst all-time Pasadena residents?
He's got to be on the Mount Dinamore.
He's on the Mount Rushmore.
Yeah, he's got him.
Who else is there?
Who else is from the Dina?
Todd Heap used to live on Compass Point.
Yeah, but he's not from there. He's like an interloper from the outside.
Well, I'm not really from there. I'm actually from Tennessee. I married a girl who's from Pasadena.
Gotcha.
But that was almost 40 years ago, so whatever.
All right. Who makes more?
Okay.
Austin Eckler, running back for the Washington Commanders.
Okay.
Or Dylan Strome, center for the Washington Capitals.
I definitely know this.
Okay, well, I'm going to go with the Stromer.
I think Stromer makes more.
All right, I'm going to guess Eckler makes...
I think Stromer makes... Go ahead.
I was going to say Eckler 5, Stromer 6.
I think Eckler makes about 4.3, and I think Stromer makes about 5.5-ish.
Okay.
All right, according to my numbers, again, yes. I just go to Spot Rack. Austin Eckler, $4.96 million.
Okay,
right, so
he's 5.
I was close, 5.
You're right, yeah.
Dylan Strome, $5 million. We have a winner. Stay on the line.
Right. Stay on hold, my friend. You win. Good for you.
So
we're
going to
hook you up with the tickets to the Wizards Wednesday, March 5th versus Utah. First 10,000 fans in attendance get a special G-Wiz bobblehead. That's courtesy Capital One. Don't miss all the mascot fun, including appearances from Franklin the Dog, Benny the Bull, and the Blue Blob. You won't want to miss any of the action. Grab your tickets today.
Who is the Blue Blob? I'm going to have to look that up. I'm usually up on my mascots. I'm missing out here. Okay.
All right. Still need one more winner because we have the Dierks Bentley tickets.
All right, let's go to Andrew. He's calling in from Stafford.
Hey, Andrew. How are you, buddy? Andrew, did you punch him up?
I thought I did.
Nope. There you go. Andrew.
Morning, Junks.
What's up, Andrew? Bud.
What's up, Drew? Who makes more? Bub Carrington, rookie guard for the Washington Wizards, or Mackenzie Gore, pitcher for the Nationals?
I don't know much about Gore, so I'll take a flyer on it. Let me go Gore.
Bub Carrington's making $4.45 million. Gore, just $2.89. He's a pauper compared to Bub.
You lose. Sorry, Andrew. It just goes to show you that,
isn't that crazy,
NBA
the
money is just dumb money.
Yeah. NBA money is money.
I mean, how many years has Gore been in the bigs?
Well, he won 10 games for him last year.
Probably four or five.
Yeah, I mean, it takes longer for the MLB years to get to the big money.
Yeah.
I mean, 3.9 ERA.
I mean, Bub Carrington was drafted in the mid-first round, like I want to say 16, I mean, 8 to 18.
He's a kid.
He's like 18 or 19 years old, making $4.5 million.
Yeah. And Gore had to obviously go to the minors.
Right, right.
Make it. So he's been in. So this is year three.
Yeah.
So this will be year four.
The moral of the story is play basketball.
Play basketball. Well, helps to be tall.
It certainly does help. It's more lucrative.
800-636-1067. Who's our next contestant?
Let's go to
Who Makes More on a game show Wednesday.
Let's go to Tobias calling from D.C.
Tobias, what's up?
Hey, Tobias.
Hey.
Hey, all right, Tobias.
Here we go.
You probably don't even know this guy. He looks like he's 16. Cakes and I saw him on the Wizards bench last week, but they picked up this guy, AJ Johnson.
Yes.
I think he's 19.
He's butt skinny. He makes
super
Kevin
skinny.
McCarthy look like
he's
Schwarzenegger.
He's like 6'7", 160.
Yes. Who makes more? AJ Johnson.
All right.
Or starting pitcher for the Nationals, Jake Irvin, who won 10 games last season.
I know where I'm heading here.
I had to go Jake Irvin.
You always got to go NBA.
Let me guess.
Plus, he plays for the
Learners. I think AJ Johnson makes about 1.9 milli.
Yeah, he makes
2.79.
All right, so he makes. I'm underselling by a lot. Irvin probably makes. He's young.
He's not even in his arbitration.
I'm going to say 900 grand.
Yeah, he makes like 850K.
800,000 for Jake Irvin.
Always side with the NBA ball.
All right, I got one more, and then I've run out of locals that I looked up salaries. Yeah. Who's our final contestant?
Let's see. I think we're still waiting on some of these guys getting punched up.
Just punch them up.
All right,
go to line
let's
two.
Go
to Corey.
What's up, Corey? You're on with the Junks. Good morning.
Good morning.
What's up,
Corey? All right, who makes more? Washington Capitals forward Tom Wilson or Washington Commanders running back Brian Robinson?
I'm going to say Tom Wilson.
It's got to be
Tom
Willie.
Wilson makes $6.5 million. Yeah. Brian Robinson only 3.4.
Winner.
So we got a winner.
There you go.
Congratulations. Woo. You're going to go see Dierks Bentley, Broken Branches Tour,
right.
Friday, July 11th, Jiffy Lube Live with special guests Zach Top and the band Lula. Tickets are on sale now. For tickets and more event info, visit thefandc.com/events.
Thought I put him on hold, not sure. I think he's still there, though. Getting back to Valdez, and if he's the most popular person to ever come out of the Dina, they don't have a very long list of notable people. He's not on it. He should be. Here's who they have listed. Brandi Burkhart, TV, film, and Broadway actress. I don't know anything about her. Ronnie Dove, who was a pop star during the 60s and a country singer in the 70s. This person is going to be on the Mount Rushmore with you. Dan Duquette, former general manager of the Baltimore Orioles. That's probably the highest profile person to come out of Pasadena. So you squarely have a spot amongst the four, Valdez.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I appreciate that. Thank you to Hugh for shouting me out.
Yeah, of course.
Are you Chesapeake High School?
Yes, I'm Chesapeake High School.
Who's the number one dog from Chesapeake High School?
You're looking at him.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, you work with him.
Yeah, he's right behind you, Ricky.
Haven't we gone through that list before?
Probably. You end up forgetting about it.
I think it's fairly unimpressive. Yeah.
I would never attend Northeast.
Is
never.
That right?
Never. That's our rival.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Is there a particular reason why you just hate them? They're just scumbags?
No, it's just dumb high school rivalries when you're 16.
Oh, they what's your school's mascot? We're the Crabs, right?
No, we're the Cougars.
Cougars?
Yes, we're the Cougars.
Got it.
All right.
Brandi Burkhart's attractive woman. She's been in soap operas.
I mean, your school only has two notable alumni. You have a Playboy model.
Isn't it an enormous school, too? You had a Playboy model?
They have a Playboy model from 2002.
I would have guessed Hustler.
Christy Shake is her name. And Lamar King, former NFLer.
All right, is this your time? 2002? What year did you graduate high school?
I graduated high school in 2007
or 8? 4. Oh, so you might know this chick.
Yeah.
Have you heard of her?
Her real name is Christina Fistek.
Oh, I know. No, I don't know her.
You know what? Smart to change your name. She went from Christina Fistek to Christy Shake.
Yeah.
It's a much better name for a Playboy
model.
Much
better name.
I know we don't have the athletes like Tamatha.
Yeah, yeah.
But Roosevelt's got the founder of Google.
Pretty good.
Whatever.
Is that good?
Whatever.
Yeah. Got Martin Lawrence.
Oh, we'll stack up net worth against your guys all Marty day long. Lawrence. And we win. We get the dub. Just on the shoulders of one guy.
The Google guy?
His scrawny shoulders.
Didn't he have to give a bunch of his money to his ex-wife?
I have no idea.
Yeah.
Don't know. So. But you know what? After he gave a bunch of money to his ex-wife, he still has billions.
Cakes, you should be in here because they have some professional poker player that I've never heard of.
Who's it? Is it
Daniel Cates?
You've never heard of Jungle Man Cates? What are you talking about?
Jungle Man went to Roosevelt?
You don't know anything about the poker streets, my friend.
Sorry.
He went to Roosevelt?
In the poker world, that's like... freaking Babe Ruth.
Dude, I'm telling you, I think Brett and I had one of the first ever interviews of Jungle Man. He was working at Burger King.
And now he plays nosebleed steaks.
It was McDonald's or Burger King. And he's just a boy genius on the
online.
See
the guy that had the slide in his house? I remember
That's Phil Galfond.
That's Phil. Somebody Phil.
Everybody knows that, JP.
Phil, yeah.
Look at his rulings.
I got to go down Phil Galfond's iconic slide. I did.
Iconic.
In a poker world, it's iconic.
In the poker world, it is iconic.
He sold it. He had two penthouses put together. It was a sick place, yeah.
He was printing money.
Yeah, he was. Yeah.
I love the poker nerd.
Oh, there it is. I just typed up Phil Galfond slide.
By the way, Valdez,
I believe it was featured in Architectural Digest at one point.
Valdez, are you sleeping on the fact that it looks like your school has changed its mascot? They're now
what was it before?
He said the Cougars.
Yeah, they're the Cougars.
They're now the Bayhawks.
What?
He probably likes
according
that.
To Wiki.
Cougars? Why, disrespectful to older ladies looking for young
the
tail?
Chesapeake Bayhawks. Why you need to update your file over there, buddy.
Did you know that?
I did not know that.
You know what? I could tell you're rocked.
That's rocking to me right there.
You're rocked.
Down the foundation.
The Bayhawks? That's so nuts.
What happened?
Well, Wiki, hold on. Wiki still says it's the Cougars.
I mean, not the Wiki I'm looking at. Unless I'm looking at the wrong...
How about let's go to... Let's go to AACPS.org.
Look at the one in Essex.
He botched it.
I botched it.
Yeah, there's two Chesapeakes, dummy.
No, it's still the
Cougars. There's two Chesapeake High Schools.
Yes, there's one in Baltimore County and there's one in Anne Arundel County.
Yeah, who would know?
All right.
I'm kind of with you, Case.
I flubbed it.
I'm kind of with you.
Yeah, it's definitely still the Cougar.
Coming up next, Commanders Insider John Kime from ESPN.com here on The Junkies.